Radio Hangar here, pull up a seat. Let's talk flying. This is ATIS, I'm Tower. And today we're going to have a conversation that could keep your certificate in your wallet and keep you out of a very uncomfortable phone call with the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA. We're talking about temporary flight restrictions, TFRs, the invisible walls in the sky that catch pilots off guard more often than any of us would like to admit. But first, we do have a headline making the rounds that I want to get to. So stick with me. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, gear, apparel, and gifts for the aviation obsessed. If you've got a pilot in your life or you're one, check them out. All right, let's get into that headline. The Department of Homeland Security, under Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen, has floated a proposal that would pull Customs and Border Protection officers from airports in cities that have sanctuary policies. We're talking about 11 airports. And these are not small fields. John F. Kennedy International, Los Angeles International, Chicago, O'Hare, San Francisco, Seattle, Tacoma, Denver, several others on that list. Now here's what you need to know. If CBP officers are withdrawn from an airport, that airport cannot process international arrivals, full stop. No customs, no international flights. The airlines that operate international routes into those airports would have to reroute. For those of you flying general aviation internationally, this matters too. If you're coming back from the Bahamas, from Canada, from Mexico, you file an EAPs and you land at a designated port of entry. If your usual port of entry loses its CBP staffing, you need a new plan. Now, this is still a proposal. It has not been implemented, but it's worth watching because the operational ripple effects would be enormous. Airlines would reschedule. Airspace patterns could shift. And if you're a GA pilot who uses any of those airports as a custom stop, you'd need to adjust your routing. I'm not going to get into the politics here. That's not what we do. But the aviation implications are real, and I'd encourage you to keep an eye on this one. We'll update you as it develops. All right, let's get to the main topic, TFRs, temporary flight restrictions. If you've been flying for any amount of time, you know what a TFR is. But knowing what it is and consistently checking for them before every flight are two very different things, and the gap between those two things is where pilots get into serious trouble. Let me give you some numbers to set the stage. The FAA processes hundreds of TFR violations every year. Some result in a phone call and some remedial training. Some result in certificate action. And a few, the ones involving presidential TFRs or sensitive security areas, those can result in an intercept by armed fighter aircraft. That is not a situation any of us wants to be in. So, let's talk about the mistakes, the actual real-world errors that lead to TFR busts, and more importantly, how to build habits that keep you clear. Mistake number one. And this is the big one, not checking for TFRs at all before a flight. I know it sounds basic, but here's the thing. A lot of pilots have a pre-flight routine that covers weather, NOTAMs in a general sense, fuel planning, weight, and balance. And they treat TFRs as something that will just show up in the NOTAM briefing. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's buried in a wall of text that includes every obstacle light and taxiway closure within 50 miles. The FAA's own TFR website lists active and upcoming restrictions. Flight planning apps like ForeFlight, Garmin Pilot, SkyVector, they all display TFRs graphically. But you have to look, and you have to look every single time, not just on cross countries, on local flights too, because a TFR can pop up over your home airport while you're eating lunch. Presidential TFRs in particular move fast. The president travels, the vice president travels, and when they do, a 30 nautical mile outer ring and a 10 nautical mile inner ring of restricted airspace goes with them. If Air Force One is landing at an airport 40 miles from your home field, your local practice area might suddenly be inside a TFR that wasn't there yesterday. Here's what you need to know. Check TFRs as close to your departure time as possible. Not the night before, not that morning, right before you go, things change. Mistake number two, misreading the dimensions of a TFR. TFRs are three-dimensional. They have a lateral boundary, a floor, and a ceiling. Some pilots see a TFR on the map. Note that it doesn't cover their route laterally and press on without checking the vertical limits. Others see the lateral boundary, realize they're inside it, but assume they can fly under it. Here's the problem. Some TFRs go from the surface to flight level 180. That's 18,000 feet. You're not going under that. Others, like stadium TFRs, are a 3 nautical mile ring from the surface up to 3,000 feet above ground level. You could theoretically fly over a stadium TFR if you're high enough, but you need to know the exact dimensions, not guess. No, and the lateral boundaries are not always circles. Wildfire TFRs, disaster relief TFRs, these can be irregular shapes defined by coordinates. You need to see them on a moving map, not just read a text description and assume you know where the boundary is. Mistake number three. Confusing the outer ring and inner ring of a VIP TFR. This one catches a lot of people. When the president or vice president is traveling, the TFR typically has two rings. The inner ring, usually 10 nautical miles, is a hard no. Nobody goes in there without explicit authorization, period. The outer ring, usually 30 nautical miles, has different rules. If you're operating under instrument flight rules with an active flight plan and a discrete transponder code, air traffic control may allow you to transit the outer ring. VFR traffic generally no, but the specifics vary by TFR. Each one is published with its own set of rules, and those rules can differ. The mistake is assuming all VIP TFRs work the same way. They don't read the specific NOTAM for the specific TFR you're dealing with. Every single time, mistake number four. Relying on a single source of information, your flight planning app is great. I love mine. But apps can have lag time in displaying new TFRs. The data feed might update every 30 minutes, every hour. If a TFR was just issued, your app might not show it yet. Best practice, use at least two sources. Check the app. Check the FAA TFR page directly. And here's one a lot of pilots skip. Call flight service. A standard briefing from LATOS, which operates flight service, will include active TFRs along your route. And if you've gotten a briefing, you've got documentation that you made a good faith effort to check. That matters if something goes sideways. Mistake number five, forgetting about stadium TFRs. This one is sneaky because stadium TFRs are predictable and routine, and that's exactly why people forget about them. Anytime a Major League Baseball game, a National Football League game, a college football game with a stadium capacity over 30,000, or certain other major sporting events are happening, there's a TFR. 3 nautical miles laterally, surface to 3,000 feet above ground level. Now, 3,000 AGL over a stadium in a metro area might not seem like it affects your flight, but think about where stadiums are. They're often near airports, they're in practice areas. And if you're flying a traffic pattern at a nearby field at 1,500 feet, you could easily clip the edge of a stadium TFR without realizing it. The fix is simple. Know the game schedule. If there's a stadium anywhere near your route, check whether an event is happening. It takes 30 seconds. Mistake number six, assuming a TFR has expired when it hasn't been officially canceled. TFRs have published start and end times, but sometimes they get extended. A wildfire TFR might be listed as expiring at a certain time, but if the fire is still burning, it gets renewed. A VIP TFR might shift times if the schedule changes. Never assume a TFR is over just because the original end time has passed. Verify, check the current status before you fly into that airspace. An expired TFR that got extended is still very much active, and ignorance is not a defense. Mistake number seven, not having a plan for what to do when you discover a TFR mid-flight. Let's say you're in the air, your VFR, you pull up your moving map, and suddenly there's a TFR that wasn't there during your pre-flight briefing. It happens. What do you do? First, don't panic. Second, don't fly into it. Turn away if you're approaching the boundary. Third, contact ATC. Call approach control, call center, call flight service on 122.2. Tell them where you are, what you see, and ask for guidance. They will help you. Having a plan for this scenario before it happens is the key. If you've never thought about what you'd do, the first time it happens in real life is not when you want to start figuring it out. Now, let me talk about the consequences for a minute, because I think understanding the range of outcomes helps motivate better habits. On the mild end, an inadvertent TFR violation where you clipped the edge of a stadium TFR you didn't know, you immediately left when you realized. You might get a call from the FAA. You might get a brasher warning from ATC, which is the notification that a possible pilot deviation has occurred. You'll probably be asked to file a NASA Aviation Safety Reporting System report, and if you file it within 10 days, it can provide some protection against certificate action for inadvertent violations. That NASA report, by the way, file it every time something goes wrong. Every time. It's free insurance. On the serious end, flying into a presidential TFR can get you intercepted, F-16 fighters off your wing, instructions to land immediately. Your airplane might be searched. You will almost certainly face an investigation. And if it's determined to be careless or reckless, you could lose your certificate. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. When people say TFR violations are no big deal, some are resolved quietly, some change the trajectory of a pilot's flying career, you don't get to choose which category yours falls into. So let me give you a quick checklist, a set of habits that will keep you out of TFR trouble. 1. Check TFRs during pre-flight planning. Use your app, use the FAA website, use flight service. 2. Check again right before departure, not an hour before. Right before, things change fast. 3. On cross-country flights, check for TFRs along your entire route, not just at departure and destination. 4. If you're flying VFR and you have a tablet or portable GPS with a data connection, keep the TFR layer visible. Glance at it periodically in flight. 5. Know the stadiums and major event venues along your regular routes. Check their schedules before weekend flights. 6. If in doubt, ask. ATC would much rather help you avoid a TFR than deal with the paperwork of a violation. 7. File a NASA report anytime something goes wrong or even almost goes wrong within 10 days, no exceptions. This affects you if you fly anywhere in the United States. There is no corner of the national airspace system that is immune from TFRs. They can appear over small towns when the president visits. They can appear over forests during wildfire season. They can appear over disaster areas, space launches, military operations, and anywhere else the FAA deems necessary. The good news is that avoiding TFRs is not hard. It just takes discipline. It takes making TFR awareness as automatic as checking the fuel gauges. Once it's a habit, it's effortless. But until it's a habit, it requires conscious effort. Put in that effort. All right, that's our deep dive for today. Let me give credit where it's due. Today's headline comes via Simple Flying. Our TFR discussion draws on FAA advisory circulars, published FAA TFR policy, and the collective wisdom of too many hangar flying sessions to count. Sources are listed at radiohangar.com. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by people who love aviation. Everything we share here is sourced and cited. We're transparent about what we are, and we take that seriously. I'm Tower. Check your TFRs. Every flight, no exceptions. I'll see you next time. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.